knows it.
I know it's here somewhere.
Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in.
We hope you enjoy the show.
Oh, yes, we certainly hope you'll enjoy the show this week because we've got so many very good things to do. Let me move my microphone so I'm not popping and popping. Popping is bad. No, we don't like the popping. Anyway, we've got cool stuff going on the podcast. I'm still having problems with the popping. Let me move my mic a little. Anyway, you know, sometimes you just got to justify these things. You know, that's like justifying except you adjust. It's never mind. Anyway, this is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And, of course, I'm at my curmudgeonly best when things are going wrong, like the popping microphone, because it bugs me. I don't like it. And when I don't like things, I get really grumpy. And when I get grumpy, I get curmudgeonly. And then, of course, I'm right in line with the podcast. Yes. Well, anyway, this is, of course, Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, as I mentioned before, and I would like to remind you of our website. The website, of course, you can get to one of two ways. The first way is the long way. You know, it's like a road. You've got a shortcut, and you've got a long way. And the long way, of course, is
CHECOMPUTERCURMUDGEON.com.
Ah, yes, the long URL, thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Yes, I'm sure you want to use that, but in case you don't, you can always use the shortcut, the short way, which is drbill.cc, drbill.cc, which of course stands for Computer Curmudgeon. You knew that, didn't you? Yes, I know you did. At any rate, we are also such proud members of the Tech Podcast Network.
This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network.
TechPodcasts.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Yes, indeed, you know that if you're looking for tech, it is right here on Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon, and the Tech Podcast Network. And the Tech Podcast Network is composed of many excellent technologists that are waiting with bated breath. Never understood that phrase. I wouldn't want to chew on worms and have bated breath. But at any rate, I digress. Anyway, they have great technical knowledge available on many different subjects, some with very odd names. Dr. Bill, I mean, that's simple. It's easy. You can remember that so well. Now, computer curmudgeon, I don't know. But anyway, again, I digress. There's always Bwana. Bwana, of course, has a program called Bwana.org Radio. He's at Bwana.org. I bet you guessed that. Yeah, anyway, let's do a promo for Bwana.
This is Bwana.org Radio. Stand by for promo. You're the announcer.
Not your ordinary tech show. Bwana.org Radio. A virtual potpourri of technology. Bwana.org Radio. It's tech news, video game reviews, open source software, and general gadgets. It's not just for Mac or Windows. Bwana talks about both.
An exciting, exciting week if you're an Apple fan or if you're a Microsoft Windows fan.
Check out Bwana.org Radio by going to Bwana.org. That's Bwana.org. It's Bwana.org Radio. Check it out today.
check it out, Boana.org Radio, and you can enjoy that as well. Many members, lots of members of the Tech Podcast Network, and we always want to steer you in that direction because they are such excellent podcasts. You know, Todd Cochran is the head of Raw Voice Media, which is, of course, the sponsoring corporation, if you will, of Tech Podcasts. And Todd has a program called Geek News Central. He's the geek at Geek News Central. And Todd certainly is an excellent podcaster. He's been at it for a very, very long time. He wrote actually one of the very first books on podcasting, and I would encourage you to check that out as well. It's available on Amazon.com. You can just do a search for Todd Cochran, T-O-D-D, Cochran, C-O-C-H-R-A-N-E, I believe. And his podcast is Geek News Central, which is available at geeknewscentral.com. A little extra promo thrown in there for you. But at any rate, great folks at the Tech Podcast Network. The other thing I would like to mention is that this podcast is sponsored by Go to My PC. And you can go to My PC. I have to say that very carefully because otherwise I would mess it up and that would be bad, given that they're sponsors. At any rate, I am glad they are sponsors because, as I've mentioned so many times before, I'm a Citrix system administrator professionally at High Point Regional Health Services, and we have a lot of Citrix installed there, Citrix programs, and of course mainly Citrix Metaframe, which is the suite of software that we're using from Citrix. But Go to My PC is an excellent tool because, after all, you know, it's bad enough if you were to, like, leave your keys somewhere and misplace them. But if you leave a file at work and you're like, oh, man, I've really got to have that spreadsheet, but I don't want to have to drive all the way across town. What am I going to do? Well, Go to My PC has the answer. And what's really cool is that through the fact that they're sponsoring this podcast, you can try Go to My PC for free. I'm not talking about a crippled version. I'm not talking about, you know, a dumbed down version. I'm talking about the real full product. You can use Go to My PC for one full month, absolutely free, no obligation whatsoever. So I'd encourage you to go to drbill.cc. Click on the link over on the sidebar, at the very top of the sidebar there, where it has the little Go to My PC banner there, a little kind of almost square. It's kind of hard to call a banner. Anyway, it's, you know what I mean. It's a little link. Click that, and you'll go to My PC, the website, and you'll be able to download the software. And they, I'm telling you, hey, you got to try it. It's free. You might as well. And you will be really impressed with Go to My PC from Citrix Systems. Now, also, if you scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page there on the website, you will see GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy, yeah. So, check out the offer there for GoDaddy. Click on that link. It will do you well to take part in what GoDaddy is offering to you. I mean, really inexpensive domain names and hosting at 10% off. So, awesome, awesome stuff. Well, guess what? We've got a very special Game Master segment for you today. Now, you know, my son Benjamin, the Game Master, he's always out there on the cutting edge of gaming. That's his whole deal. He's into gaming. And this week on the Game Master segment, we've got a review of Halo 3. Now, I know it's the big new thing that's out there, has been for a week or so. Everybody online's talking about it. And, of course, that means the Game Master has to talk about it as well. So, let's check out what's happening with the Game Master. Okay, it's time for another Game Master segment, and the Game Master's here with me, fresh from an afternoon of Haloing.
Halo 3, to be precise. My cousin just got it a couple days ago.
And does it rock?
Well, let me say one thing first.
Okay.
Gravity Hammer rules.
Gravity Hammer.
In the second game, the final boss had a hammer. When you slammed it on the ground, it was in a shockwave that could throw you off platforms and do all kinds of really mean things to you.
Kind of like the Hulk.
Sort of. In Halo 3,
boom, or
you
Donkey
get
Kong.
To use it.
I like Donkey Kong.
Then you would love the gravity hammer.
Sounds cool. So, everybody's talking Halo 3 at the moment.
Of course.
And it's apparently just out, more or less.
It came out a week or so ago.
Well,
I don't know.
Relatively
exactly.
Just out, yeah. Anyway, so, and you played it this afternoon.
All right, second thing I want to say that's really interesting.
He keeps digressing, doesn't he? He inherited it. Go ahead.
Is the level called Sand Trap in multiplayer?
That's in golf.
What? No. Anyway, it's a desert.
Deserts.
Which is obvious. And it's got two vehicles called the Elephants. Do
he
not
likes brownies
ask me
for
why.
Desert.
What?
Dessert. Never mind. Go ahead.
Anyway, the Elephants are basically mobile bases. You can dock vehicles, you have mounted turrets. However, they move very slowly.
So let me get this straight. Halo
right.
Has Elephants in it.
It has a vehicle called an Elephant. I mean,
So they're not really elephants like in...
Right, not like in
Lord of the Rings. Okay.
Anyway, I'm not going to spoil the ending for you guys, but I have finished the game, kind of.
What?
Sort of. My cousin...
Wait.
What?
You just started playing it this afternoon.
My cousin had already finished most of the game. I jumped in the last few levels.
Okay.
So I have seen the ending, but I'm not going to spoil it.
Go ahead.
Suffice it to say that it's a very, very good ending. I like this ending.
I like movies that end with sunsets and, you know, a
this one has a sunset.
Cool. How many suns?
I think one. I think they were on Earth.
Oh.
Not sure.
Interesting. So anyway. So you got these guys and they fight each other and they use weapons and what else is unique about it?
All right, so Halo 3 is obviously a step up in graphics.
Okay.
Because it's on the Xbox 360.
Yes.
They had more they could do with the graphics and it really showed. There was a lot better lighting and shade effects and all that good stuff.
What about the AI?
The AI is interesting. It's got four levels of difficulty. On the first level, they tend to just kind of, you know, sit there and let you shoot them. The second level of difficulty is actually a very large jump up by comparison. They do more damage, they're smarter.
They dodge before they let you shoot them.
Yes.
Yes.
Anyway, I haven't played the third or fourth levels of difficulty yet because normal mode is still quite hard.
I see.
It's incredible. But anyway, one thing that's cool about Halo 3 that they didn't have in the previous games is four-player cooperative mode.
Okay.
Previous games only had two players.
Okay. So, did this have special thingies? Controllers?
Buttons. It's the Xbox 360, so the controllers are different from the Xboxes.
Uh-huh.
And that allows them to have more functionality, too.
I see.
They have a reload button for each of your separate hands this time, instead of just having one for both hands.
Okay.
They have equipment that you can deploy with a press of a button that ranges from force fields to regenerative fields to trip mines, to what have you.
I see. So I have heard that it can be fairly violent.
Yeah.
So what's it rated?
M.
M for mature. I see.
Only thing I don't like about the game. It's a bit overrated, maybe.
Overrated meaning it's rated more mature than it ought to be for what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Main reason they rated it that
Are you
was
sure
for,
I was following that
was for language and violence, yes, and blood.
Yes.
Violence and blood, they have that in T-rated games.
Uh-huh.
The language in Halo 3, at least, I didn't notice any. But then I didn't play what. My mom just told me that I played it in co-op. It's the exact same thing as single player though, just with more than one person.
Ah.
But I didn't hear any. I only played the first few levels and the last few levels, but I didn't hear any through that entire time.
Interesting.
I hurt plenty in the first two games.
But. Yeah. They shouldn't have such things, because it really doesn't add anything to the game from my point of view. But at any rate. So what about ratings?
All right, let's see. Graphics, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
It was very good graphics. You know, like I said, the lighting and shading was good. I do think they could have used some more budget on, like, their teleportation effects and stuff.
Okay.
So I'm going to give that a 4.5 out of 5.
Still pretty high.
Very high, yeah.
Okay.
AI, like I said, I've only played the first two levels of difficulty. All I can give them there is a 4 out of 5. If I play the later difficulty levels and it's extremely good, I'll come back and re-rate it.
Okay.
Replayability. The multiplayer is amazing, which is what you'll mostly be playing. But the single-player campaign is still a lot of fun, and it's a very, very good story. So in terms of replayability, I would say you'd be replaying it quite a bit.
Alrighty.
And storyline is amazing. It's one of my favorite sci-fi storylines, which is really saying something.
What about overall?
Overall rating. Well, I would like some more functionality out of certain aspects, like, you know, taking control of opponents' vehicles and stuff. They allow you to do that, but I'd like more diversity in how it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, they have one animation for each vehicle, which is not enough, in my opinion. I would like some more, you know, hand-to-hand type moves, but then it's a game focused on guns, so I can understand why they don't have many. So overall, 9.5 out of 10.
I see. Interesting. So did Master Chief show up?
Master Chief is the main character.
Yes. So he showed up?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we got that straightened out. I always figured, you know, they might have replaced him with somebody because, you know, he might ask for more money since it's been such a popular series.
Well, they could have just gotten a new voice actor.
Yeah. It's kind of like Jonas replacing
Daniel Jackson. Anyway, yeah, though, they did have a second main character who was... not a replacement, but an addition called the Arbiter. He was introduced in the second game and continued on through the third.
I see.
I think they were also supposed to have two other characters, but apparently you don't see them unless you play 3- and 4-player co-op.
Ah.
Or so I'm told.
So do they fight like alien dudes?
Yeah.
Monsters?
Yes. The main enemy is the Flood, which is... kind of like zombies. They're aliens that take over dead bodies and turn them into undead things.
Ah.
I do not like them.
Yeah, well, zombies, you know, you don't want to invite them to parties or tea or anything like that anyway.
And you have an evolved Flood talking to you in your head throughout the first, like, 3/4 of the game.
See, that would be annoying.
Yeah.
That's what drove the Master insane, you know, was the drumming that was going on in his head all the time.
Yeah. Actually, I think you have it throughout the entire game. At certain points of the game, your movement slows down, you know, like, impossibly. The screen distorts, it goes into grayscale, and then this booming, evil-sounding voice resounds in your head and is evil.
Well, let me see if I can scoop you on a bit of news. Did you know that the company that makes the game, which is Bungie, which is a company that is a subsidiary of Microsoft, is probably leaving Microsoft?
I did not know that.
Ha! I scooped
nice.
Him!
My question is, what will they do to get the rights to the Xbox 360 in that case?
That's the question.
Yeah.
And that's why some people are wondering, is this the last Halo?
No. They have a PC game, at least I think it's PC, a strategy game called Halo Wars, which is like a prequel to the first game. So they'll find other ways to continue the franchise. This ain't the end, no matter what.
I see. So then they'll have a politically correct version.
No.
PC. Get it? Yeah. Okay. Anything else going on of interest? I know you're playing Go a lot.
Yes, I am back into Go. I've downloaded Hikaru no Go.
And eaten up our bandwidth forever. But at least
anyway,
it's over now.
Yeah.
Thankfully. Yes.
not much to say.
Okay, well, there you go. So next week, join us, and we'll figure out if he has anything further to
say. Probably
not. Yeah, well, we can always hope.
So there you go, the Game Master segment. I trust you enjoyed that. He was really psyched about Halo. He's very much into it. So. Yeah. All right, well, that was the Game Master segment. Again, join us next week as he gets into other things. He might even have something else to say. You never know. All right, well, let's get into the news of the week from the blog known as Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. And the very first item is...
Excuse me, what do you want to do tonight?
That's not the
same thing
I was supposed
we do every
to hit.
Night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Podcasting at the speed of the internet. This is the GeekCast with Aaron Krakow.
Yeah, I hit the wrong button. Let's try it again. Here's another button. The Geek Software of the Week, not the GeekCast promo. See, they both said geek, and I just kind of missed it when I hit the button. Okay. Anyway, the Geek Software of the Week this week, I just love it when I make mistakes. They're so organic, man. All right, anyway, Photosizer is the software for the Geek Software of the Week, and Photosizer is, of course, free, and it's a Windows program, and it's an awesome program. Now, let me tell you what it's for. As the name implies, it's for sizing photos. Get it? Photosizer. Photosizer. And it is actually, amazingly enough, available at photosizer.com. Photosizer.com. So, makes sense. Anyway, here's the thing. Most people, when they go out and use a digital camera, they make their pictures, and those pictures are huge. They're just so big. And then they take it to the web or to a photo site or whatever, and they just upload it. You know, it may be this huge, monstrous picture. And then they kind of say, oh, you know, now I need to squeeze it down to size. So they shrink it, but they shrink it not through sizing the photo, but just changing the aspect, so to speak, of the photo on the website. And, of course, it's still going to take forever to load. It's still going to eat up a ton of bandwidth and space on your web server. So that's not good. What you want to do is you want to size your photographs before you load them up to the web server and get them the size you want them to be. So how do you do that? Particularly, how do you do it in a batch mode? Let's say you've got a whole directory full of photographs, and you want to do the entire directory at one time all to the same size. Well, that's what Photosizer is for. You can predetermine the size you want it to be, and then you can just take a whole directory, drag, drop, boom, and size them. Or you can say, I want them all to be 50% of their original size, drag, drop, boom, you're done. It's awesome. And it manages to keep them from getting fuzzy and weird looking when they are reduced. So there you go. All right, next item, Ubuntu 7.10 is only 15 days away. That is, when I wrote the blog article, it was 15 days away. Today, as I record this, which is a Sunday evening, actually, October the 7th, it is 11 days away. And the reason I mention it is because I have an Ubuntu 7.10 clock on the blog. So if you're wondering, you're sitting around and you think, oh my goodness, when is Ubuntu 7.1 going to be released? You can go right to drbill.cc, scroll down the sidebar, and there it is, the number of days to go before the launch of Ubuntu 7.10. A public service just for you from Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. Oh, before I forget, today, this week, is the last time you can register to win the mugs. What mugs, you ask? The mugs that celebrate the 100th podcast of Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon. You know, this podcast is number 106. So 6 podcasts ago, we had our 100th podcast, and to commemorate it, we had some mugs made. And I've got 2 to give away, so if you want those mugs, go to drbill.cc, go to the search
bar thingy, type in mug, and hit the button to search, and you'll find where to register to get you a free mug. Don't say I never gave you nothing, okay? Anyway, we're only giving away two, so you have to enter the contest. And all you got to do is fill out the form, hit the button. You're entered into the contest. Next week, I'll be announcing who won the commemorative official full-color mug celebrating the 100th podcast. There you go. Two winners. Two. So, you got one of two chances. All right. Also, another item, a 21-foot X-Wing that actually flies. Yes, indeed. These crazy model builders built a model X-Wing. It even has an R2-D2 in it. Dude, it's 21 foot long. We're talking a big model, okay? Not a model. Model is something that, like, your skin has different colored little patches on it. That's mottled skin. That's not good. But anyway, a model builder built a 21-foot X-Wing that actually flies. And there are pictures of said X-Wing. It will blast off next week in California. Let's hope it doesn't blow up. That would be spectacular. But not good to have spent all that money and have it blow up. News at 11. All right, next item. Windows Vista Service Pack 1 is not impressive. Well, big whoopee, the operating system itself's not that impressive. But, you know, everybody usually waits for Service Pack 1 of whatever is coming out before they actually go to it. Well, Service Pack 1 for Vista is kind of lame. Yes, Microsoft is officially... let's say, managing expectations of Service Pack 1, and they're really kind of, let's put it this way, the reviewer said it lacks the wow factor. Yeah. All right. On October the 4th, officially, October the 4th, 50 years ago, on that day, Russia launched the Sputnik. The Sputnik, yes. And in doing so, they started the space race. Now, here's what's interesting to me. I'm 51 years old. You know, I'll be 52 come the end of November, which is coming soon. But the thing is, that makes me older than the space race. I didn't need to know that. At any rate, Sputnik was a little basketball-sized shaped satellite, and all it did was beep, beep. Beep, beep, kind of boring. But at any rate, it started the space race. And of course, it also gave us the amazing video sensation called Do the Cosmonaute. And you know that we have to play a little bit of that for that very reason. Ha, ha, ha. You know, Sputnik, Sportnik.
Do the Cosmonaute.
Yeah, there you go. Got the little guy dancing around on YouTube. If you want to see it on YouTube, just go to YouTube.com and type in Do the Cosmonaute. I'm waiting for them to say Sportnik.
You're a zero-G hottie when you shake that space body. Step up the funk, drop the tongue, and space jump. It's right here in the mirror dance field. We can lock the rocket, rock the cosmonaut. You can see the Earth from this aloft space perch as you shake your jello like Nyet Funicello. Playing space bank a finger with some numbers from Ringo. Ain't going down like God when we pump the cosmonaut.
Okay, we'll just fade that right on out for sake of time, but you get the idea. Do the cosmonaute. Yes, indeed. Anyway, I had to throw that in because, you know, I have to do the weirdness on the podcast. It's kind of my favorite part. Anyway, also next item, Vixta Linux, not Vista, Vixta, V-I-X-T-A, is designed to be Vista-like. Now remember I just said that Vista is not all that impressive in and of itself, but it does have some eye candy. So basically what these folks did is take the Fedora Linux distribution and spiff it up with all kinds of eye candy that makes it look Vista-like. And it really, you know, if you're used to Vista, you could use this and probably not even know what's going on. But at any rate, it has as its goals, number one, to bring Linux to the masses. Yes, let's be condescending, shall we? Number two, absolutely no config, which they call A and B, absolutely no config. These guys are sharp, you can tell. Number three, user-friendly. First, you have to have something that a user can use to be user-friendly. So, let's hope they did that. Number four, eye-catching. I like my eyes just where they are. I don't want you catching them. Okay. Number five, Vista-like. That's kind of the point, wouldn't you say? Vixta, V-I-X-T-A, for your computing pleasure. And guess what? It's time for us to be sliding on out of here because we're over time by about 1 minute and 17, 18, 19. Well, you get the idea. Seconds. So I suppose that I should wait for the music to start playing. And when it does, oh, there it is. I'll slide on out of here. Remember, the doctor is out of here.